All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. And I want to read just six verses. Beginning in verse 1, familiar verses to us, but I think they need to be revisited every now and then, just to remind us of how we came to the conclusion that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, so Genesis chapter 3, and I do want to say that I appreciate John coming over and cleaning off my driveway twice this week. No, not you. John Hahn. I got you again, didn't I? Man. I'm done, yes. Yes, I'm done. All right, Genesis chapter 3. Now, pay real close attention as we read down through these six verses, and then I'll show you where I want to go with it this morning. In verse 1, now the serpent, and of course this serpent is the devil, it is Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, this is where she got in trouble. She's going to stand here and argue with evil. All right. And so in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees, plural, of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I'll stop reading right there, and let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning. And I want to speak to you this morning on when Satan speaks. All right, when Satan speaks, let's pray and end the message. Now, our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have the opportunity to be in your house this morning, and I just pray that you will bless as we look at these six very powerful verses in the Bible, so foundational to what we believe and so foundational to the gospel. And so, Father, bless, I pray, your word to our hearts. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear. I pray that the Holy Spirit will apply and teach us what we need to know and what we need to learn this morning. And especially that we will see our need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. There are three times in the Bible, three times, where the voice of the devil is heard. This is the first one. This is the first time, the first place in the Bible where we actually hear Satan speaking, all right? Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1. All right. He said unto the woman in the middle of verse 1, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. And then we read down in verse 4, and the serpent said, the devil said, ye shall not surely die. Then he went on to say in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All right, so we have here in this passage Satan speaking. We can hear his voice. We can hear his thoughts written for us in Genesis 3. Now, the second passage is in the book of Job. And in the book of Job, in the first chapter of Job, we have again the devil questioning God in heaven. He came and asked God, was he familiar with Job? And of course, God was familiar with Job. But that's the second time in the Bible that we have the voice of the devil. Then there is a third time, and that is in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And a third time, his voice was heard. Now, here's something that all three of those have in common. And the thing that they all three have in common is this. Every time the devil speaks, he is questioning the word of God. Every single time, three times in the Bible, and remember, three is the number of completion in the Bible. And so three times the devil speaks, and three times the devil is questioning the word of God. Now, in the verse, in the verses that I read for you this morning here in Genesis 3, we find what is in Bible doctrines referred to as the fall of man. You see, when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, they were without sin. They were sinless. And so the devil took it upon himself to deceive and to lie to get Eve to sin. Then she got Adam to sin. Now, according to the New Testament in 1 Timothy, we read how that the devil went to Adam, but Adam was not deceived. So he went then to Eve alone. And I want you to notice that the devil got Eve to sin by disobeying the word of God. But now here's the kicker on the thing. Adam was not deceived, the Apostle Paul says, which means that the devil no doubt went to Adam and tried to get Adam to disobey God, but Adam would not disobey. And so he went to Eve. And Eve, listen carefully now, Eve got Adam to do what the devil couldn't get Adam to do. There you see the power and the influence that you ladies have over us men folk. Now that's true, isn't it, guys? I mean, you just soon have anything other than her mad at you. Amen. I'm not the only one that, like that, I'm sure. Rest of y'all are so afraid you're not going to say anything, are you? So here's the point, folks. In these six verses, we are at the source. We are at the source of all the rivers of sin of sorrow, of desolation, of damnation, and of judgment. We are at the very source in Genesis chapter 3. This is where it all began. And Genesis is the book of beginnings. It is the beginning of the universe. In Genesis, we see the first man and the first woman. We see the first marriage. We see the first sin. We see the first murder in Genesis. But we also see the first promise of a Redeemer, and that Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. All right, so let's notice here quickly three things this morning, three things that I want to point out about the devil questioning Eve about God. All right, look carefully, please, at your Bible and look at verse 1. In verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent," speaking of Satan, "the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, in verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, folks, listen, the devil is always questioning God's word. Satan was questioning Eve about what God said to her. He was trying to say that God was being unfair to her and to Adam, that God was being unkind to them by withholding the fruit from the tree of life, was being unfair by keeping her from eating that which she wanted. You can almost hear the devil kind of whispering in her ear, hey girl, listen, you have your rights, you know. You have your rights, you know. I mean, you can almost hear that argument. But Satan was actually questioning the voice or the word of God. Satan said, now Eve, did God really say? Did God really say? And if you look at verse 2 and 3, you will notice that chapter 2 and verse 15, and let me show you what God actually said. Here was the conversation before the devil came to Eve. Look at the conversation in verse 15 of chapter 2. Here's the conversation. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." All right, so what does that mean? Well, it actually means that he was to prune the trees, and that he was to keep them. In other words, he was to protect those two trees. That was his responsibility, to dress or to take care of, to nurture, to prune the tree, and then to keep it or to protect it from encroaching danger. And so that is what God said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. But God did not say, according to what she said in chapter 3, that they were not to touch it. All right, look at your Bible. Look at verse 2. "The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, folks, God didn't say not to touch it. As a matter of fact, in 2:15 and 16, we see that they were supposed to touch it. They were supposed to prune it. They were supposed to keep it from encroaching evil. That was their responsibility. Now, God said, just don't eat of it. But God did not say, don't touch it. So that was the result of the devil just pushing and pushing and pushing. And then Eve tried to give us a new Eden version translation and say, oh, but God said we can't touch. No, God didn't say that. No, you're making stuff up. And that's where people get in trouble with the Word of God. When you read the Bible and then you start making stuff up to fit your doctrine. And that's exactly what has happened with multitudes of these new translations of the Bible. You mark it down, folks. Every time there is a new translation of the Bible, it's one of two. There are one of two motives behind it. Number one, bias. In other words, somebody is translating the Bible to highlight their bias. Or secondly, bucks. It's either bias or bucks. But mark it down. It's one of those two. And so God did not say that they could not touch it. That was an exaggeration on Eve's part. You say, but Pastor, God said that they couldn't eat of it. Wasn't that awful? No, that's not awful at all. Who created the garden? Who created the universe? Who made everything? So if God made everything and then put man in the garden and told him you can have anything you want except don't eat of the tree of life. Folks, listen, the devil lied to Eve in order to persuade her, and she ran with it. And I don't know if she was sitting there thinking to herself when the devil said that God knows in verse 5 that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you will be as God. You know what the devil was saying to her? If you eat of the tree of life in the middle of the garden, you will be as God. You'll be on the same level with God. Why did God limit what they could do? He limited that because God is sovereign. Only God had 100% access to everything that was in that garden. But that's man, isn't it? You give him one law and he's going to find a way to break it. Now think with me for just a moment. I think the tree was a representation of the sovereignty of God. God was simply saying, you can eat anything, you can eat everything except for one tree. One tree. Don't eat that one tree. The one tree, you cannot eat of it. You can touch it. You can touch it. Just don't eat from it. And God was the only one who had complete access to everything that was in that garden. So it was just as if God was saying, I just have one law, Adam, one law, Eve, just one. And they broke it. I remember when I was in college, I read an illustration one day, looking for an illustration for a sermon in pulpit speech class, and I read this illustration, and I've never forgotten it, that way back in the turn of the last century, there were two cars in the entire state of Colorado, and they had a head-on collision. That's man, isn't it? You know, that's man. You know, it's like mom says, you stay out of that swimming pool. And, oh, but mom, you stay out of the swimming pool. You just had lunch. You're not getting in the swimming pool. Little Adolf, you know. Little Rotten, you know. And Little Rotten's over there walking along the edge of the pool, though. He's not in it, but he's walking right on the edge as fast as he can. Why? That is the nature of man. We are always pushing the envelope, aren't we? Always pushing the envelope. I remember one time we were at the house. We were little, not real little, but old enough to know better, that's for sure. And we were asking mom if we could have a cookie. All we wanted was a cookie. One, a cookie. Mom said, no, we're going to eat in less than 15 minutes, so you're not getting a cookie. But mom, no, you're not getting. Mom, please. No, mom, we're dying. We're dying over here. No, you can't have a cookie. And so what do? Can I have half a cookie? Right? That's what we do. And she says, no. And then we say, mom, a quarter of a cookie. We'll take one, break it in two, break that half in two. I'll eat this and Mike can have that one. No. No, you can't have a cookie. Mom, we're dying. How about just a crumb? Can we just have a crumb? And I remember my little scoundrel brother went in and sneaked a handful of cookies. And he came running in like he had gotten away with something. I knew he was nailed. I knew he was nailed. My mother had eyes in the back of her head. And so she turned around, Michael Anthony, and he said, I don't have a cookie. I got a bunch of them. You said we couldn't have a cookie. Well, that didn't work. My mom said, you are grounded for a week. But see, that's what we do. That's what we do. Now, here's where evil always begins. It begins when we question the word of God. Amen. Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? You know, the word of God is God's final authority. Amen. Yea, hath God said? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. He has said, and what he has said is truth. And so, dear friend, you better believe that God has spoken. The psalmist said it this way, why do the heathen rage? And the answer is because the devil has gotten man to question the word of God. Why have over 60 million babies been murdered in the womb through a legal process called abortion? I'll tell you why. Because man questions God's word, and man thinks that he knows more than God knows. The Bible is clear. Thou shalt not kill. Period. Amen. There's no argument about that. You say, oh, well, it just depends. No, it doesn't just depend. No killing. It's that simple. It's not difficult. So why do folks sin through drink and drugs and open rebellion against God? Why? I'll tell you why. It's because we have questioned the word of God. Oh, well, it's okay to drink. You just can't get drunk. Show me that in the Bible. You can't show me that in the Bible. Do you know why? Because that was birthed in hell, not in heaven. Got a little weak right there. It always does, though. So I can't believe you said that. I did. If y'all think I'm going to back down on liquor, you're crazy. Because I'm not going to. It's wrong. It's sin. And Christians have no business drinking. I'm talking a glass of wine with dinner. I'm talking about a glass of wine to help you sleep. Listen, folks, there's never been an alcoholic who didn't first take the first drink. Amen. You just chew on that a little while. Whose phone is this, by the way? Is this yours? Okay. I won't bother it then. All right, everybody got that? Amen, preacher. That's good preaching right there, preacher. Let me remind you, folks, that Jesus said Satan is a liar. John 8:44. Oh, well, the Bible says Jesus drank wine. No, he didn't. Do you think he's going to contradict his word? He's not. You see, he turned the water into wine. He turned the water into juice. It wasn't alcoholic wine. Our Savior was not a wine bibber. Yea, hath God said, you better bet your boots he has. You better bet your boots he has. Eve, God's being unfair to you. Well, listen, gal, you got your rights. You can do what you want. Who does God think he is telling you what to do? He's God. He can tell us all what to do. Now, we can rebel against it. And boy, we do, don't we? But he's God. Yea, hath God said? Yes, he has. And the only right the creature has under the Creator is to obey the Creator's words. That's the only right we've got. We've got a right to obey God. That's the only one. And you listen to the devil, and the devil's going to question the word of God. You mark it down, and if you listen to the devil, you're going to question the word of God, and that questioning is going to lead you to a world of trouble. Second thing, I want you to notice not only did he question the word of God, but secondly, he denied the severity of God. You see, right here in this verse, it says, ye shall not surely die. Verse 4, ye shall not surely die. You see, the devil was trying to air condition hell right there. Ye shall not surely die. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, you're not going to surely die. God's not going to send you into an eternity in hell. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the wages of sin is death. Last I checked, that's still in the Bible. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Don't eat, chapter 2, verse 15, don't eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Pretty clear to me. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is conceived, brings forth death. Ye shall not surely die. Won't you take that up with the one that said it? All right? Take it up with God. God, did you really mean that? And I think if you'll ask him, he'll point you right to his word and say, it is written. Amen. Case closed. Amen. Case closed. It is written. The wages of sin is death. The devil was trying to say, oh, come on, Eve. The wages of sin is not death. But my friends, it is. It is. God said so. God said so. But Satan is wrong here. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. And as sinners, we need a Savior. Not going to do you any good to question the Word of God. I've heard some of these dudes on television through the years, and they'll say, "Well, I've been doing some research on hell, and you know, Jesus did not really mean a place that's on fire." Yes, he did. What are you talking about? Oh, well, Professor so-and-so, I don't care what Professor so-and-so said. I care what God says. I'm going to believe God over Dr. Know-It-All. I can assure you that. And you better too. But you see, what we do is attach ourselves to somebody who softens the platform for us. You better be careful listening to the devil. You say, but Pastor, God is a God of love, and God won't send you to hell to burn forever and ever. Folks, I agree. God is love. But God is also justice. All right? God is justice. And no matter how, listen, God can do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. But there's one thing God cannot do. And God cannot go back on His word. He cannot go back on what He has spoken. And the wages of sin is death. Case closed. Now somebody has to pay your death. It's either going to be you in hell for all eternity, or you can let the Lord Jesus pay your sin debt. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and there on the cross, He suffered the death that all of us should have to suffer. It's not complicated. But you can't listen to the devil because he'll get you all confused. You see, today, the love of the Savior is extended. And the Bible says, whosoever will may come. That's good to know, isn't it? You know, that means that an old sinner like me, I could come and the Lord forgave my sin. I mean, it wasn't a process. It wasn't a month-long thing. Now, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and then, no. It was, Father, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. I know I deserve to be in hell, but I believe that God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, came and died on Calvary's cross so that He could take my sin debt and pay my debt with His death on the cross. But make no mistake about it, somebody has to pay your sin debt. It's either Jesus or it's you. I'm glad I let Jesus pay mine. I'm so glad. Then last thing, I want you to notice thirdly. First of all, he questioned God's word. Secondly, he questioned or he denied God's severity. And then number three, he slandered the motive of God. Boy, this one's overlooked so much. I don't know if it's just cause, you can preach yourself to death in the first few verses, but Satan slandered the motive of God. Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as God, and your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. Well, I don't know that that's all that much of an advantage, is it? I mean, you'll remember they went and hid themselves in the garden. Why? Because they had no knowledge of evil. They said, we got to go hide ourselves. Why? We're naked. They did not know that they were naked until they sinned. And then they realized that they were naked and were embarrassed to be so. I wish folks would get embarrassed to be so today. But Satan says, when you eat of the tree, when you eat, you're going to become like God. I mean, you're just going to be like God. You'll know right from wrong, and you'll be just as smart as God. And God is just being selfish because he doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. That's another lie. That's another lie. Not an out-and-out lie, but a sneaky little lie. You see, folks, here's the thing. God didn't have a motive. There was no motive in God's heart. He was protecting man. He was not trying to get something for himself. I mean, he's God. He doesn't need a motive for any law that he institutes. He just does not need a motive. By divine fiat, everything God commands, he is perfectly just in that commandment. Perfectly just. What he did, though, listen carefully, what he did, though, was he had a reason. There was a reason that he made that law. There was a reason that only he had access to every tree in that garden. You say, well, what was that? Well, the reason was his holiness. His holiness. You see, sin offends the holiness of God. It's direct rebellion against God's spoken word. And God's holiness will not let him fellowship with man's sin. Just won't. Just won't. Folks, listen, that's why we need an advocate. That's why we need a redeemer. That's why we have to have an advocate to go to the Father, a high priest. And that high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it is just awesome that I can say, Dear Heavenly Father, and all of heaven shuts down. Silence falls all over the heavens. And God says, shh, shh. He's getting ready to speak. And God focused his attention upon little old me. Little old me. Little old you. And God says, the Lord Jesus says, what do you want me to tell the Father? He's our advocate. He's our go-between. You see? You see, we're sinners. Right? So we need an advocate. We need a high priest. That's what the whole system in the Old Testament was all about. You had to get an offering and come and give the offering to the high priest and a sacrifice for the nation, for the sins of the people. And then daily a sacrifice. Why? Because we're all sinners. That's why. But we can come boldly before the throne of grace because we have an advocate. We have a redeemer, a savior, a high priest. And when Adam sinned, the curse of sin fell upon him. It was not that God wanted anything less for Adam, but Satan made it appear that way. And that wasn't it at all. You see, he tells you to, the devil tells you, well, you just go ahead and live it up. Just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Don't waste your time being a Christian, but you best not listen to the devil when he starts talking that way, dear friend. God wants you to come to Christ, and if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to change. Your want to is going to change. Do you know why I'm here this morning? Because I want to be. Do you know why I read this Bible? I want to read this Bible. You know why I prayed before I came out here in my office this morning? I wanted to pray. Why? Because I want God to bless what I'm about to say. I'm telling you, folks, the devil knows his business. He knows his business. And the devil is just constantly trying to lie and murder and deceive. That's his nature. Has he lied to you? You say, well, Pastor, he probably has. Well, let me ask you this question. If something were to happen to you, God forbid, but if something were to happen to you and you were to go out into eternity, do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Now, if your answer is, well, I sure hope so, then you've been lied to by the devil. Because the Bible tells us that our salvation is not a hope-so, it's a know-so. If you'll just look right here for just a moment, I know it's frightening, but if you'll just look right here for just a moment, listen, I'm... Yeah, there was. I heard them. Look here, you are looking right now at a man who knows where he's going when he dies. And it's not because of the Church of the Open Door. I love the Church of the Open Door. But the Church of the Open Door can't save anybody. And it's not because of the waters of baptism. And it's not because of anything I've done. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus has done. And he went to the cross and bore my sin debt. And now here's what the Bible says. For whosoever, you know what that word means? Whosoever. 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 From down here where Troy's sitting, all the way up top, all the way over, all the way back down, and all the way across the main floor. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. You can know that you're going to heaven.